I was so shocked. I woke up today to this news. It says, and I'll just read to you the headline here. It was in the news.com Australia. Home Affairs Minister Tony Burke to personally review the visa of far-right commentator Candace Owens. It reads, the Home Affairs Minister says he will personally review the visa application of far-right pundit Candace Owens, saying that he hopes she has, quote, a good refunds policy. I mean, I told you guys yesterday, we've already sold out of VIP tickets all across Australia. I'm so looking forward to going this. Apparently, he has been lobbied by the Zionist Federation, and he says that he is going to personally review the visa application. And this is coming from the publication of far-right anti-Semitic speaker Candace Owens, who is scheduled to come to Australia in November for a speaking tour. Mr. Burke, who has discretionary ministerial powers to block or refuse a visa, said it appeared Owens had yet to make an application 3 months out from the shows. And this is what they're purporting is a direct quote from him. Tickets to these events are selling for $100. I hope she has a good refunds policy. He goes on to say, my opposition to anti-Semitism and Islamophobia has always been on the record. I have clear legal powers to knock back a visa to anyone who would incite discord. His strong stance has been welcomed by the Executive Council of Australian Jewry, co-chief executive Peter Wordham. Peter says, at a time of unprecedented strains on the cohesiveness of the Australian society, which is very largely the outcome of ignorant and malicious comment on social media, the last thing we need to be importing into our country is yet another so-called celebrity who has made racist and bigoted comments about Jews and other vulnerable groups. Okay, lot going on there. I do also want to point out that virtually everything that is being purported that I said was definitely not said. As I told you earlier, the Zionist Federation of Australia actually publicly posted on their Instagram calling for me not to be allowed into their country. This, again, I don't know if this is just an American thing. I've never been there. I always assumed there was some like synergy between Australians and Americans and that there was this like freedom-minded mentality. It'll be my first time there, and I guess I'll get some sort of an assessment. But unimaginable, just truly unimaginable that anyone would take this stance over speech that you're not even citing accurately. This was what was posted by the Zionist Federation of Australia. They wrote, the Zionist Federation of Australia calls for Candace Owens to be refused a visa to enter Australia. Like, what? We believe that granting Candace Owens a visa poses a significant risk of inciting discord within the Australian community and vilifying Jewish Australians along with other minority and ethnic groups. And then they accuse me of extremism and bigotry and all sorts of things. And in the actual caption, they wrote this. She has referred to transgenderism as clinical insanity. I just want to be clear. I did not refer to it as clinical insanity. I learned this in school. I graduated, and in our DSM-5 manual, it was cited. When I was growing up, I understand these things change with every year, that it was a mental disorder. That is what I said. That is just a fact. So presenting this as, you know, clinical insanity is an interesting take on that, and described the LGBTQ plus community. They write this, by the way, and she described the LGBTQ plus community as engaging in sexual debauchery. Okay, again, something intentionally taken out of context. What I am referring to is Pride Month in America across the cities. We have shown you examples of the sexual debauchery that is now taking place at Pride parades. Men riding bicycles naked, men dressed up in BDSM, like leather chains and whips, and basically just acting out sexual fetishes in the name of Pride, which I find to be, as a mother, unacceptable. I do not think that this is exemplary of what the LGBTQ community is. And so I call it out because it's wrong and it's perverse. And to make it seem as though I am attacking the LGBTQ plus community, when in fact, I feel I'm defending them for people who I believe have this sort of fetish, extreme sexual fetishes that are kind of operating and pretending that this is just about, oh, I'm just lesbian or I'm gay. Like, you know, I grew up in the 90s. People were gay and lesbian, and it didn't spell out that they wanted to wear like leather assless chaps and whip someone in the behind down the street while children were looking. That's a defense, actually, of the LGBTQ plus community. He goes on to write, additionally, she has dangerously insinuated that trans people have been responsible for an increase in mass shootings. Again, this is so dishonest for the Zionist Federation of America to publish this. What I said was an absolute fact. There has been an uptick in America. The last recent shootings that have happened in America have been executed by people that identify as non-binary or transgendered. So we have to talk about the facts without pretending that presenting a fact is a form of bigotry or a form of hate. And I introduce that fact because what I always say is missing from that conversation when we speak about school shootings is trying to understand what drugs people are on that could be impacting their mind. That is an incredibly reasonable take to have that I feel like the Zionist Federation is trying to reposition as a hateful thing. I'm a mother to three young children, wanting to get to the root of what is inspiring these shootings. At least, by the way, I'm in Nashville, quite literally a trans person just shot up in elementary school last year. And to say that we're barred from discussing that aspect, and you say you're doing that out of love, I don't know. That feels to me like hate for parents who want to go over and above to protect their children by understanding the issues at hand. Then they say, her harmful rhetoric extends beyond the LGBTQ plus community. Owens has publicly claimed that Muslims started slavery and was disturbingly mentioned in the manifesto of the Christchurch mosque shooter as a significant influence. This just gets dizzying. I can't think of anything more horrific than trying to point to a manifesto which an insane person wrote at the exact same time that you're trying to sell to people that I'm pro-Hamas and anti-Jewish, you're also simultaneously trying to sell to Muslims that I hate them too. So I just hate everybody. There's like no one that I like. There's no side that I'm on. You know, this is exactly why we need to start having these conversations, because when the media engages in this, removing things from context, you know, sometimes just flat out lying, even going so far as to assign meaning to a manifesto that somebody wrote in New Zealand, a place that I've never been to, regarding a topic that I've never spoken about. I actually don't speak about Muslim issues. So it's completely crazy to say this or to pretend that I would ever want a mosque to be shot out. But that's what he's implying, that I wanted a mosque to go through this horrific terrorist attack. That's what he's trying to implant. The Zionist Federation of America is trying to implant that into the minds of Americans, into the mind of Australians. Pardon. How is this okay? Why is this okay? Simply because you don't agree with something that I've said, you're going to be hyperbolic and remove things from their context and not tell the truth. You know, this is not dignifying for the Zionist Federation of America. I mean that sincerely. I think this leans into terrible stereotypes when you're calling for someone, calling for censorship, you're smearing them. By the way, in that same manifesto, the guy cited Nelson Mandela as an inspiration. Nelson Mandela, would you say awful things about Nelson Mandela? He also cited a child's cartoon. Do you know what was wrong with that guy? He was just insane. So you don't need to assign meaning to something that an insane person has said simply because you don't like me. And when you engage in this, right, it's harmful to the cause that you purport to care so much about, Zionism. Because when people see this and they say, wow, this Zionist, is this what they believe in? Just speech censorship and pretending, or they are able to go through this and realize that you're not telling the full truth. It causes backlash on the Zionist movement. And I really wanted to call that out because I see this sort of vicious cycle taking place. And I think there's something that should be separated here, actually. I had a good conversation with a young woman today who had commented under this post. By the way, I want to be clear, Jewish people commented under this post and said, this is not the way. So let's actually tether ourselves to reality that Jewish people don't agree with this, censoring speech. And this is kind of the problem when organizations sort of elect themselves to speak on behalf of Jewish people and do stuff like this. Like I said, it reflects badly on Jewish people who are Zionists. But somebody who had a great conversation with on Twitter, I think actually might have a piece of that conversation, kind of said to me, look, there's Zionism, and then there are radicals who use the Zionist community to hide behind, just like any other radicals using any other communities, Republican community, Black community, Muslim community, even the Christian community, etc., as a front for the crazy ideologies or hatred. And you know what? She's right. And I haven't done a good job of that in the past, of trying to separate and say, I'm referring to radical Zionists, right? I'm referring to people that will lie, who will threaten, who will smear, who will libel because they don't like a position that you've taken. People that will take things out of context, right? Just like this, taking things that I've said in the past out of context to just make everyone believe that I'm so hateful that I shouldn't even be allowed to travel. That's very extreme. that actually is a form of extremism in my viewpoint. And actually sort of another issue that recently happened actually this morning that I think really underscores this, and I want to be clear, I'm not at all conflating myself with the victims of the October 7th attack and the hostages that are still being held by Hamas. But I saw this and I was like, this really shows you what I'm speaking about in terms of the media constantly being willing to lie on people to further their own interests. There was a hostage who was taken. Her name is Noa Argamani, and I'll show you a picture of her. Beautiful young lady. She was taken on October 7th. You kind of remember, I don't think we're going to show it, but there was a picture that went very viral of her. Oh, there it is. Yeah, and you remember this, and she was screaming when she was taken, saying, please don't kill me. Well, remarkably, they were able to rescue her and to free her back in June. And on Wednesday, she spoke with the G7 embassy representatives in Tokyo, and she detailed everything that she had been through while being held captive by the Palestinian armed groups during the 7th October attack. And she gave a very moving testimony. She asserted how fearful she was, recalling falling asleep each night in Hamas captivity, fearing that it was going to be the last night of her life. You can just imagine just this like beautiful young woman having gone through this. That should have been enough. Her testimony should have been enough. There's no need to lie about her testimony. And guess what? They did. The media lied about her testimony. And today she was forced to issue this statement on Instagram saying that some of her remarks had been intentionally misquoted and taken out of context. Here's exactly what she wrote. I'm showing it to you guys in Hebrew. I will translate it. If I get a word wrong, please don't harm me. But it says, I cannot ignore what the Israeli media has done to me over the past 24 hours, taking my words out of context. Al-Qassam Brigade's members did not hit me while I was in captivity, nor did they cut my hair. I was injured by the collapse of a wall that was caused by an Israeli airstrike. I emphasize that no one hit me during captivity, but I was injured all over my body after the airstrike. I am a victim of the October 7th incident, and I refuse to be victimized again by the Israeli media. That's an incredible statement, right? And as I said, what she's been through is harrowing enough. Like, you don't need to pretend that she got her hair chopped off or that she got beat up by Hamas. Like, no one's going, oh, well, if they didn't hit her, then it's totally fine that they took her. No one thinks that. It's not fine that they took her. This woman was kidnapped, and she was also kidnapped with her boyfriend who remains in captivity. And she has a powerful voice, and she's telling you what she lived through. And yet you have people in the media that go, we need to make everything sound so hyperbolic because we want people to be on our side. And this is not the way. I am telling you, this is not the way. The truth really is enough. And that is what we are referring to when we say that there is this like radical fringe that is breaking out that doesn't understand, when I think the majority of people who are Zionists just are like, hey, we want the hostages returned and we want to hear their testimony. And then you get these people who are like, nope, we're going to make extreme stuff so that we can, you know, make people hate Hamas even more. And again, the truth is always enough. So that is my perspective. And to Noa Argamani, I feel terrible that you went through that at all. You know, as a hostage, the video was very hard to watch of you being taken. And then to have to couple that with just thinking that what you've been through is not enough is especially horrific.